Hey, my name's Spencer, by the way, if I haven't met you yet. Hopefully we get a chance to meet, but nice to meet you all at once. Let's pray, and we'll start into building momentum. Lord Jesus, thanks for these guys and girls. Thank you for bringing them to Snowbird this week. God, I pray it's a rich week for them. I pray that it wouldn't just be swings and river and things like that, God, but I pray that they would meet with you, God, and I pray that as we meet with you, that our lives would be forever changed, mine too. God, and I pray as we look into the word this morning that you would just guard my mouth. Let me say things that are from your word, God. I pray that you would you just guide me as I speak. Lord, I pray for these guys that you would that you guide them too as they listen. I pray that, by the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, God, that you just give them ears to hear, that they would see their situation and see how they can maximize it for the gospel for their part. And God, I pray that you would just you just guide us as we talk through these things. We love you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this breakout is titled Building Momentum. And what we're going to be talking about is building momentum for the next phase of life using what you got right now. So this breakout's kind of designed for folks that come from Christian homes, like Zach was mentioning in the announcement. Designed for folks that come from Christian homes. Now, we're not talking about perfect homes, because those don't exist, right? They don't exist. We're not talking about you had a perfect dad or a perfect mom, because there are no such things as a perfect dad or a perfect mom. I'm talking about this breakout is designed for those who have parents that love Jesus, or a parent that loves Jesus and wants you to love Jesus. So if you're right now thinking, shoot, I'm in the wrong breakout, it's all right. Just stick around, because we all want to have godly families one day. So this breakout really is talking about, man, how do you use what you got in this phase? If you've got believing parents, if you've got Christian parents, how do you use what you have in this phase to maximize the next? Because y'all fixing to step out into a whole new arena of life. Even if you're a freshman this year, you only got a couple years before you ship off to college or to the next phase of life, whatever that may be. And it's going to come fast. So how do you use what you have right now while you're living under Christian parents' roof? How do you use what you have right now to maximize this next phase? I want to give a caveat kind of at the beginning. And Brody talked about this last night. Y'all know being from a Christian home doesn't make you a Christian, right? That seems simple, but a lot of folks don't know that. You know, when we share the gospel with Muslims overseas, a lot of times we start out with, now, I wasn't always a Christian, and for them, it blows their mind. They're like, what? You weren't always a Christian. Your parents are Christians. You're a Christian family. You're Christian. How can you not always be a Christian? And we have to explain to them about accepting Christ, about the call, and accepting Christ and repenting and believing. But just because you have solid parents, that doesn't mean that you're solid. Just because your parents read the Bible and pursue the Lord, that doesn't mean that you are pursuing the Lord. So a lot of this breakout is going to be talking about the responsibility is on you to pursue the Lord. And this breakout is going to assume that you personally are pursuing the Lord in the scriptures. But let me give a couple of instructions that the Bible does give to young people. Now, the wording, it'll say children do this or that. But we'll just, I mean, a lot of times in the Bible when it uses the word for children, the word it uses are like can even apply to older kids that are still under their parents' care. So y'all. Right? If you still live in your parents' house, if your parents are still paying the bills, these commands are to you. So let me give the main instruction that the Bible gives for y'all, like for children regarding their parents is this. Honor your mom and dad. This one is huge and it's often overlooked. It says this a bunch of times in the scriptures, though. A lot of times, God repeats himself to you saying, honor your mom and dad, honor your mom and dad, honor your mom and dad, over and over and over. So if God were to come to you personally and tell you one thing 5, 6, 7 times, you would listen to it, right? We'd listen to it right off the bat. So hear what he says. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God's giving you. Deuteronomy 5, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it might go well with you in the land your Lord your God's giving you. Matthew 15 in the New Testament, God commanded honor your father and mother, and here comes a stunner, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. Uh-oh. Mark 10, you know the commandments, don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Don't defraud. honor your father and mother. Now, it's interesting when you see a list of commandments like that, or even the Ten Commandments, a lot of times we put more weight or more importance on the negative commands rather than the positive. Like, we'll read a list like that, and it's like, don't kill anybody. And we're like, oh, yeah, better not do that. Better not kill anybody. Don't commit adultery. Oh, yeah, better not do that. Honor your mom and dad. It's optional. It's okay. A lot of times we think of like, the positive commands, like honor your mom and dad or remember the Sabbath, and we're like, those are, if you're really good, you do those things. But, of course, don't murder. But in reality, the commands in Scripture are equal. Like, they hold equal weight. So here's something that God is commanding over and over to you. And so it's very, very important. Honor your mom and dad. And we'll talk about what that means in a little while. Because the second most often repeated command to young people is obey your mom and dad. Obey. And this is tied in with honor. But Ephesians 6 says this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. And here's the promise. That it might go well with you, and you might live long in the land. All right, now pause for a second. This isn't the first commandment, right? But this is the first one that has a promise attached to it. And the promise is, and this is pretty crazy, if you honor and obey mom and dad, life's going to go good. Things are going to go well for you. And you're going to live a long time. Now, wait a minute. Have you ever known anybody that's honored their mom and dad and things didn't go well for them? I have. People had a hard life, even though they honored their mom and dad. Have you ever known anybody that's honored their mom and dad or obeyed their mom and dad and they died while they're young? I have. So what the heck? What's the deal with this promise in the Scripture? Well, I think anytime we're looking at promises in the Scripture, we need to look a little bit deeper. And so, like, when it says that if we obey, if we honor our mom and dad, things are going to go well for us or life's going to go good. Man, if I were to ask each one of you right now, what does the good life look like? We'd all say something different. I asked my son this. I have a five-year-old little boy. You'll probably see him this week. He's got a mohawk, always shirtless, running around, usually with soccer shin guards on or something weird. He's awesome. His name's Jed. And so I asked him the other day, I'm like, hey, Jed, if you could create the perfect world, what would it be like? So here's my five-year-old son. He's like, I got it. Everybody in the world would have a dirt bike. And I was like, oh, not bad. I like your world. And I was like, what else? And he said, well, everything, everywhere you looked, would be made out of candy. He said, so when you're jumping your dirt bike over these hills, they're chocolate hills. And I was like, Jed, this sounds good. And he said, when you're riding your dirt bike on the road, it's rainbow bacon. You know what I'm talking about? Those little, the gummy, multicolored strips, rainbow bacon. So when you're riding on the roads, it's rainbow bacon jumping over chocolate hills. And I'm like, Jed, this world sounds awesome. He said, but wait. He actually said, but wait. He said, and all the candy in the world is good for your body. And I was like, well, you've done it. You made the perfect world. Good job. Everybody's riding around and you can stop and eat some chocolate and it's good for you. It makes you strong. And I was like, oh, great job. So like, if I were to ask my son, show me life going well for you. Show me the best life. He'd be like, man, chocolate hills and dirt bikes. But for you, you might be like couch and Netflix or, you know, whatever. Like, but, you know, here's the thing. We don't get to define what the good life is. Only God does. Like, we don't get to define what life going well for us looks like because we don't know what we need. We might think, man, I need couch and Netflix and an attractive spouse and a long life and it needs to look just like this. I need to have plenty of money with no worries, no conflict ever. Whereas God might say, you know what the good life is? You're put through a squeeze so that you look more like me. Things going well for us is not us being comfortable. It's us looking more like Jesus. That's it. So when we look at a promise in the Scriptures and it says, man, life's going to go well for you, we assume that to mean, that means we're going to be more like Jesus. That means Jesus is going to be the most satisfying thing rather than our couch and Netflix. Now, when he gives the other half of the command where he says, life's going to go long for you, we all know folks who have died young, even though they've honored their mom and dad, namely, Jesus. You know, Jesus died young. Now, obviously, his situation was different because he's God. That was his mission. Nobody took his life from him, but he laid it down. But we know other people that were godly and honored their mom and dad and died young. So what's up? Well, I think a lot of times when you look at Proverbs kind of like this, it's the same way. Like, these sort of promises sometimes are generalities. Like, generally, if you obey your mom and dad, life's going to go good for you and you're going to live a long time. Though not always. It doesn't apply to every situation because God's got a plan for each person, right? But when we look at these commands, they're given over and over and over, and we don't put a lot of weight on them, but we should, especially because of what's fixing to come for y'all. College or job, whatever, you're fixing to be out of your parents' house soon. And what's crazy is the next phase of life, like ages 17 to 19, just those 2 years, 3 years, whatever, that's where most church kids fall off the map. It really is. We see it. Man, we see 8,000 students come through here a year. Good percentage of those juniors and seniors. We see them come here, be excited about the Lord. And then the next year they come back and we ask their youth pastor, hey, what about so-and-so? Oh, man. Man, she's not doing good. The next phase of life, man, is where most young people fall off the map. They go to church. To illustrate this, I need some volunteers. I need 10 people to come up here and just stand in a line right here. All right, one. Great, thanks. Two. Perfect. Three, four, five, six. Great, thanks. Seven, eight. Anybody else? Nine. Great. Perfect. 10. Come on up. All right. Y'all just stay in the line right here. Good job. Good job. Did I pick all boys? Man, I didn't mean to do that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Ladies. Thanks. All right. Great. I see you avoiding eye contact. Come on up here. All right. All right. We got 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Perfect. All right. Let's say, just for the sake of illustration, each of these represents 10% of church-going kids. Does this make sense? So you got 100%. So we're going to do a percentage thing here. All right? Making sense? All right. So let's say all 10 of these guys faithfully go to youth group, faithfully go to their churches right now. All right, so I spent a couple of weeks doing research on this. There's the best numbers I can find. I want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of y'all to go stand in front of the salad bar. Just like you are now. Y'all three, y'all can just hang out. Do your thing. Looking good. All right. Settling. All right, great. Is that right? All right. If percentages hold true, 70%, 7 out of 10 church-going teenagers leave the church from age 17 to 19. 7 out of 10 of you. This isn't non-Christian kids. These are church attenders. This is 7 out of 10 of the people sitting at your table right now. 7 out of 10 church-going kids leave the church from ages 17 to 19. Now, stats will tell us, if you two guys will go back and join these guys, stats will tell us that 20% of the original will return. So that means from high school, like from your youth group, half of them will leave and never come back. More than half will leave, but some will come back. And this 50%-ish, a little more than 50%, this 50% will stay, this 50% will leave. And I'm not talking about somebody else. I'm talking about y'all. I'm talking about your group. Church-going kids. Now, what's crazy is, out of this 50%, out of these five people, only one of them planned to leave. Only one of them was like, I'm done. When I get out of the house, I am done with church. The other four, it just happened. Thank you. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you. Y'all can have a seat. Thank you. Thank you. Good job. Good job. Does this illustration make sense? It's crazy. 7 out of 10. That means in this room, in a room this size, that means about this percentage of people will stay, and about this many of y'all will leave. Y'all, that's crazy. It's really crazy because in reality, if you come from a solid church, which you do, if you come from a solid church and you have believing parents, man, you should be hitting the next phase of life with so much momentum. You really should. You should be like supercharged, ready to, smash into college, ready to share the gospel, pursuing the Lord, being able to fight sin. But most folks are just like, they come from this great background and they come out of the church, come out of the family, and they're like, shut down. Man, we went to For Mother's Day, we went on vacation. I'm from Columbus, Georgia, which is right on the Alabama line, right near the Chattahoochee. And so we went down there for vacation not too long ago. It was around Mother's Day. And so I asked my wife. My wife's name is Amy. You ladies will meet her this week. I said, Amy, what you want to do for Mother's Day? And my wife is, man, she's awesome. She's fantastic. And she's a wee bit trashy. And so I said, Amy, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? And she said this, I'd like to go to a dirt track race. And I said, I love you. A dirt track, like a car race on a dirt oval track. All right. Have you ever been one of these? All right. Both of you. Well, great. All right. So basically what they do is like a stock car race, and they have this track that's all dirt. And so the first couple of races is fantastic. Like first couple of races, anybody can race whatever. And so it's like, all right, this race, we got a Saturn versus a minivan, go! You know, and you just watch these guys drive their old beaters around, you know, and then, but as the night goes on, the drivers get better and the cars get faster to where at the end of the night, guys are going like 100 or 110 on dirt. It's crazy. And they're doing the thing where they just slide around every turn, like on Cars, the movie Cars. You know what I'm talking about? Float like a, what was it, like butterfly sting like a beamer? Y'all remember that? All right, so they do that. They're flying around this track, and they're going like 100 miles an hour on dirt. So on occasion, there's no walls around the outside. So on occasion, they'll be like, whoa, whoa, whoo, and just sail off somewhere. And my son, every time, would be like, wah, because the car just flies off the end of the track, and you don't know where it goes. You know, it's just gone forever. The great thing about these races, if you've never been to one of these races, they don't start like at a standstill, you know, because you picture a race like all the cars are lined up and they wave this flag and then they're like, bomb, take off. But at these dirt track races, they do a rolling start, which means they all kind of get in formation and they get out on the track. And before the race even starts, they start doing laps at like 50, 60, 80 miles an hour. And they're coming around. Once everybody gets in the right spot, they blink this green light, which means, all right, next time around, y'all go. And so they blink this green light and they go, ooh, they're picking up all this steam. And on that last corner, right as they're about to drop towards the start line, they all hammer down at the same time. And it just is so loud. The whole place is just like, wah! And all these cars come sliding around that last corner, and they hit the start line at 100 miles an hour, just like, whoop, 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 whoop. They're just flying by, and this, I mean, cloud of red dirt just goes, and just hits you right in the, I mean, it's trash-tastic. I mean, it's wonderful. It's the best Mother's Day ever. And so, like, the illustration is, man, if you're in a believing family, and if you come from a solid church, you should be hitting the starting line at 100 miles an hour. You should be hitting this next phase of life where most kids fall off the map. You should be hitting it, I mean, flying the starting line. But sadly, most church-going youth are crossing that starting line and pulling over to the side. They're not pushing the gas. They're not pursuing the Lord. So what I want to do, I want to give 12 quick tips on building momentum in the next phase of life. Now, this, what I mean by this is, how do you maximize what you've been given right now with a godly family? There's a lot we could say about maximizing a godly church life, but right now I'm talking about how do you maximize a Christian family life for the next phase. These 12 tips, this is important. These 12 tips are assuming that you're reading the Bible. They assume that you're pursuing the Lord. Because if you're not, what are we doing? What are we doing here? You personally, if no one's told you this, and I know your churches, so I know they have, you personally have to pursue the Lord. You know that. You can't live off of what your youth pastor says on Wednesday, what your pastor says on Sunday. You don't eat two meals a week and expect to be strong. You personally have to pursue the Lord. You do. You have to push the gas. You got a lot of momentum, but it's time for you guys to slam on the gas and you personally pursue the Lord. And that looks like getting alone with the scriptures in the morning, reading the Bible or whatever time. Tonight in share groups, that's going to be the topic. How do I study the Bible? How do I get a lot out of the Bible? So these 12 tips are assuming that you're doing that. This whole week is going to be talking about pursuing the Lord. But what these 12 tips are going to be specifically about maximizing a Christian home life for the next phase of life. All right? Tip number one. Obey your parents. this seems simple, and some of you guys are like, that's it? Yeah, that's it, because the scripture commands it, and there's promises attached to it. If you obey your mom and dad, things are going to go well for you, right? Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, because this pleases the Lord. That builds momentum. This pleases the Lord. Ephesians 6 says this, and we've read this verse, but I want to focus in on one part. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise that it might go well with you and that you might live long in the land. Now, when I say obey your mom and dad, this assumes that your mom and dad aren't telling you things that go against the scripture, right? Because it says children, obey your parents in the Lord, assuming your parents are teaching you the scripture. So if your parents are telling you to look at porn, don't obey that. If your parents are telling you you should sleep around with as many people as you should before you get married, just try things out, you shouldn't obey that. Obey your parents in the Lord. There are a couple of places in the Bible where it tells the kids, don't obey your mom and dad. That's the exception, not the rule. But in Ezekiel 20, he's talking to the children about their parents. Now, their parents were worshiping idols, worshiping false gods. It says this, I said to their children in the wilderness, don't walk in the statutes of your fathers, or keep their rules, or defile yourself with their idols. I'm the Lord your God, so walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. So when it says obey your parents in the Lord, this is assuming that what your parents is teaching you does not go against the scriptures. Obey your parents. First tip for building momentum. It's huge. Second one is close to it. Listen to your parents. I'm talking about really listen. You should maximize the best discipleship tool you have at your disposal. Right now, if you have believing parents, probably the best discipleship tool you have is inside your house. Other than your personal pursuit of the Lord through the scriptures, you have parents that love you, love Jesus, and want you to love Jesus. You should maximize that. Listen to their instruction. The Bible tells us this all the time, in Proverbs especially. Proverbs 1, it says, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and don't forsake your mother's teaching. There are graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. In Proverbs, a lot is comparing the wise man and the fool. And in Proverbs 13 and Proverbs 15, it tells us the difference, one big difference, between a wise man and a fool. It says this, Proverbs 13, a wise son hears his father's instruction. Proverbs 15, a fool despises his father's instruction. The only difference there is what they do with what their dad says. This is important to listen to your parents. Proverbs 6, 20 through 23, my son, keep your father's commandment. Don't forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they'll lead you. When you lay down, they'll watch you. When you wake, they'll talk with you. The commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. So this assumes, again, that what your parents are telling you is the word. But I think listening to your parents, because a lot of times your parents will lecture you. So it's learning the art of not turning it off, like not shutting it down, but really listening to what your parents tell you. If they love Jesus and want you to, the instruction they're giving you is valuable. But don't just listen to your parents, man. Learn how to have conversations with them at this point. If y'all at age 14, 15, 16, if y'all can learn to have conversations with grown-ups, y'all are going to be so far ahead in life. I mean, we see so many teenagers and even college students that come here that have no clue how to have a conversation with a grown-up. And you say, hey, man, how's it going? You pass by on the gravel road, you're like, hey, man, how's it going? And somebody will go, you'd be like, whoa, what just happened? Hey, man, you having a good day? Sweet. This is going to go great. Like, but, I mean, you can tell folks that have conversations with their parents. You can. And this is a skill that's going to help you out in every job you have for the rest of your life. This is a skill that's going to help you out in every conversation you have for the rest of your life. You're going to be sharing the gospel in a few years with grown folks, so you need to have conversations now. Great place to start is by having meaningful conversations with your parents. Listen to their instruction. Tip number three. Now, I'm going to sound like an old man when I say this, but I am. Tip number three, take good notes. If your parents are doing a good job, take good notes, because you're going to be a parent before you know it. Now, there's the old man part. Son, you're going to have kids before you know it. It happens so fast. It happens so fast, man. So take good notes. If your parents are doing a great job, if they're not a perfect job, because no parents do that. There's no such thing as a perfect dad or perfect mom or perfect parenting. You can look right now at 10 ways that your dad has screwed up. That's fine. You can still show him honor. You can look right now at 5 ways you're going to do things differently. That's fine. You can still show your parents honor and respect, because you're going to be a parent before you know it. And what are you going to do? When you get that kid, they don't come with instructions. I remember when we had our first daughter, her name's Alani. We had her in 2008. She's 8 years old. And I remember as soon as we had her, you know, hugging her and stuff, and I got so nervous, I freaked out. And I went out into the parking lot and I called my dad. And I basically said, "Help, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do with this kid." And he just started laughing and said, "Good luck." I was like, "No." He was just laughing his butt off on the phone. But take good notes, man, because you're going to be a parent before you know it. So I grew up in a godly home. My dad was in the military for a long time, and now he sells real estate. So he's not a pastor, but he loves Jesus. And my mom, she was a stay-at-home mom. They love Jesus and they love us. And so when I was a kid, what we used to do about 3 nights a week, we would do a Bible study in our living room, and we would just sit down and my dad would just read the Bible. And then he'd say, "What do y'all think about it?" And we'd all just kind of talk through what that meant. And then in the mornings, my mom would make us grits and eggs or whatever. And then while we ate breakfast, she'd read the scripture to us. The end. And we'd have meaningful conversations as we went throughout the day. But so with me and my wife, Amy, what do you think we do with our kids? About 3 nights a week, we sit down in the living room, I read the Bible, and then we talk about it. Every morning when she makes grits for the kids, she reads through a portion of the scripture. So take good notes, man. We do what our parents did. Learn from your parents, right? Learn from and take good notes. Number 4, to build momentum in the next phase, learn how to be thankful. Learn how to be thankful. This is one of the most underrated things in the scripture that's repeated so much. Be thankful. If you have involved parents, do you realize what a slim minority you're in? If your parents are involved in your life, you're in such a slim minority in history. If you have believing parents, I mean, you think about 10% of the world's population right now professes to be Protestant Christian. So if you have parents that profess to be Protestant Christians, you're in the top 10 percentile right now. So if you have parents that are believers, man, you're in such a small percentage. If you have believing parents and involved parents, man, you are in the smallest slice of our culture. So be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. You'll realize what you have when you leave your house and you'll be like, "Oh man, my parents really love me." Be thankful for what you have. So be thankful to God. Tell God thank you. And here it is. Tell your parents thanks. And they being a parent is a long, hard job, and it's often a thankless job. So, you know, all the time I'll send my dad texts and be like, "Hey, thanks for raising us like you did. You didn't do things perfect, but you did things right. Thank you. You're awesome. Thanks for being a great dad. Thanks for being a great example." It means the world to him. And being thankful like that also solidifies my relationship with my dad, right? So be thankful. Number 5, don't just listen to your parents, open up to them. A lot of teenagers will just clam up and not talk about what's going on in their lives. Man, when you have a fantastic discipleship tool in your house, you have parents who've been there, who've been through your struggles. Open up to them and share what you're learning, what you're struggling with. Encourage your parents. Open up to them because they're believers and you can be standing side by side with your believing parents. We'll talk about that in a minute. Number 6, spend time with your parents because you will never have this phase of life again. You won't. I remember when I went to college in Virginia. I graduated high school and went to college that next semester. And when I drove out of my parents' driveway, I remember looking back and my dad's waving and my mom's crying. And I never went back. Now I went back to visit and stuff, but I never went back to live. And that wasn't like my plan, but that just what happened. So you, as a teenager right now, living in your parents' house, going to this church, this phase seems like a long time, but it's over in a minute. And you'll never have this phase again, so maximize it while you have it. Spend quality time with your pastors. Spend quality time with your parents. Maximize this phase of life while you have it. Number 7, pray for and with your parents. Number 8, honor your parents. What does this mean? We talked about it generally, but what does it mean? I'm going to read this definition from a guy named Darren Carlson. He says, Honoring generally means showing esteem or respect for a person. It also means to weigh or make heavy. In Proverbs, honor is tied to humility and kindness. In Romans, it's tied to love. So this means, like, respect your parents. Show them weight. Don't treat them the same way you treat your buddies. Don't treat them the same way you treat your friends, right? Show them respect. Show them weight. Honor your parents, right? This talks about inwardly how you love them, how you obey them, how you respect them. It talks about outwardly how you act and how you speak to them and about them. Honor your parents with your words. Honor your parents with your actions. Honor your parents with your attitude. Number 9, if you have believing parents, see God in your parents. What do I mean by that? What I mean is, like, draw appropriate lines from your parents to God. Because that's one of the reasons we have family, is so we can understand God better. So, like, the intimidating thing is, for me as a dad, I'm supposed to be a picture of Jesus to my wife and a picture of God the Father to my kids. And I screw up every day, multiple times a day. But what I try to do is I try to be the best picture of God the Father that I can. So when I go home, even though I'm tired a lot of times at night, I go home, or I'll go home this afternoon for a little while, and I want to be the funnest person in the world for my kids. I want them, when I walk in the door, them to be like, oh yeah, it's on, here we go. I mean, with my kids, we'll take them up to the water slide late at night and play for hours, just like until they're about ready to throw up. You know, I wrestle them. The other day, Jed, my son, bloodied my nose, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, like, I want to play with them so hard, so they're so excited to see me. And then at night, man, I snuggle up with my girls. I snuggle up with my son. That's a manly thing to say. Like, I show them affection. I show them love. I want to be so close to them. We're reading the scriptures and praying together and laughing together. But I also expect them to obey me. So if they're out of line, if I look at them sternly, I want them to snap to it and, like, really obey me, because I want to be a picture of God the Father to my kids. So what I'm saying is, like, if your parents were loving, then you should have a deeper understanding of how God is a loving God. You should draw an appropriate line from your parents to God, right? If your parents disciplined you, God disciplines his sons. If your parents held you to a high standard, God's standard is holiness. So draw appropriate lines from your parents to God and see God in your parents. Point number 10. This is going to be crucial as you transition to the next phase of life. Get involved in a church. Now, obviously you're involved in a church right now because you came with a church, most of you. You came with a church. Get involved in a church. Wherever you go next, we'll have a whole breakout on this later on in the week, but wherever you go next, you need to plug into a church and get involved. Not just attend, not just go and sit. You need to get involved. So right now, as a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old, you can get involved in your church now. You can get involved in your youth group now so that you build that habit for the next phase of life. Because a lot of kids will be like, yay, youth group, yay, youth group. But they don't go to big church. They're not involved in big church. They're like, yay, youth group. And then once youth group's done, they're like, oh, guess I'm done with church. It shouldn't be. Get involved in your church now so that that can be the transition through the next phase. Number 11. Honor your parents even in differences. You're going to see things that you'll do differently from your parents. I did. I do things a little bit differently than my mom and dad did. But you can still honor your parents. Because the thing is, we expect our parents to love us despite our failures, despite our faults, despite our weaknesses. So we should love our parents despite their failures, despite their faults, despite their weaknesses. Do you? Do you? Honor your parents even in differences. You might even differ doctrinally a little bit from your parents down the road. But watch out, because you can do a lot of damage in a little bit of time. The last thing. Examine how you treat people in your family. Because most likely that's going to be how you treat people in God's family. Examine how you treat folks in your family. Because most likely that's going to be how you treat people in God's family later on. Or in your future family. Like, pause for a second. Ladies, if the guy you're interested in does not show honor to his mom, he will not show honor to you. He won't. There might be a phase where he seems to because he's attracted to you, but that phase will wear off pretty soon, and he'll start treating you like he treats his mom. So honor people in your family now, because you're learning how to honor people in your family in the future and in God's family and in God's church. Here's the thing. Those are the 12 points for building momentum within the house. But it goes back to, man, you must be pursuing Christ. If you're not pursuing Christ, these 12 things are going to kind of fall flat, right? The biggest way you can honor your parents is by becoming men and women of God. That's been their goal in parenting you, and that should be your goal in being parented. But you have to pursue Christ. You have to push the gas. Like, you have all this momentum. Remember the dirt track illustration. You have all this momentum. You have a rolling start. But once you cross that starting line, nobody can do this for you. Right now, nobody can do this for you. Nobody's going to pursue the Lord for you. You can't live off of another man or woman's quiet times. You can't. You have to push the gas. Don't be one of the 70% that crosses the next phase of life and is like, pull over to the side. I'm done. You have to push the gas. You've been given so much, but you have to build on that momentum by personally being disciplined to seek the Lord daily in the scriptures. Men, do you want to be men of God? Study the Bible. Ladies, do you want to be strong and following the Lord? Study the Bible. You must be. You must study the Word of God. Let me give you two verses at the end. These are kind of prayers for you guys. One of them is David's prayer for the children of Israel. It's in Psalm 144, 12. This is one of the coolest verses, man. My wife did a big mural in our kitchen of this verse because we liked it so much. It says this: may our sons in their youth be like plants full grown. May our daughters be like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. What does that mean? This is a prayer for his sons and daughters. And he says, for you fellas, he says, may our sons in their youth be like plants full grown. This means may they be stronger and wiser than their years. May they be like oaks among weeds, right? In their youth, while they're young, may they be strong and grown and mature. Just getting older doesn't mean you get more mature. May our sons in their youth be like plants fully grown. May our daughters be like corner pillars cut for the structure of a palace. So if a pillar is on the outside of a palace, it is beautiful. But he's saying, may our daughters not just be beautiful, may they be strong and foundational. They're corner pillars for a palace. So this is our prayer for y'all, that we'd have sons and daughters or young people that are stronger than their age, that are wiser than their age, that are more foundational, that are hitting this next phase of life. I mean, going 100 miles an hour. Because here's the trap. You know, for students who don't have parents that pursue the Lord, students, most of those guys are pursuing the Lord on their own. If their parents aren't doing it for them, most of them are like, all right, guess it's up to me. I'm going to study the Bible. I'm going to get involved in church. I'm going to make this happen. A lot of students that come from rough family backgrounds don't have a problem pursuing the Lord. But the problem is, with students that have solid families, they're so used to their parents being godly, so used to their churches being godly, that they get lazy and fall into the trap like, somebody will do this for me. Don't fall into that trap. You push the gas. You pursue the Lord now. The last verse, Psalm 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He will not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. All right, three things from this verse. The first thing is, it says the fruit of the womb, not the fruit of the loom. The fruit of the womb is a reward. So this means children are a reward. So you should be a reward to your parents. Not a punishment to your parents. You should be a reward to your parents. The second thing he says, and this is at the end, where he talks about a man. The picture is a man standing at the city gate talking with his enemies. So picture a city that's a walled-in city, and there's a man standing at the gate talking with his enemies who've come to the gate. And the picture is of a man who has his sons and daughters beside him as he's speaking with his enemies in the gate. Here's the reality. If you have parents that are believers, then your dad is your brother. Your mom is your sister in Christ, and you can be standing side by side with your believing parents for the faith of the gospel. Side by side pursuing Christ, side by side sharing Christ. What a fantastic picture that is. The last thing, it says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. So right now for you guys, the picture is you're in the quiver, you're in the holster, right? You're an arrow that's not being yet sent out. But in a minute, in just a year or two or three or whatever, you're about to be sent out by faithful warriors, by faithful parents. You're about to be sent out. So strike true. Don't waste your life. Don't waste the godly heritage that you've been given. Don't be given all this momentum and pull over to the side. But you push the gas. You pursue the Lord now. You honor your parents now. And you're going to be successful in this next phase. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that for these guys and for me that we would be honoring our parents at whatever phase of life we're in. I pray that we'd be obeying our parents, God. I pray that these things will help us to build momentum in this next phase of life where most church kids fall off. I pray that the percentages would not hold true for the students that are in this room. I pray that 70% of them wouldn't leave the church. I pray that all of these guys would be faithful church members, godly parents. And I pray that that would start right now, that they build momentum right now. And Jesus, I pray that you'd use this week to that end, that these guys would know you more and more. I'm sure there's people in the room that aren't believers. And God, I pray that you would bring them from death to life this week. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.